Anything said in this podcast is our opinion, and while our aim is to explore the weird and wonderful world of humans in a non-judgmental way, we apologise if we don't always achieve this perfectly. It goes without saying that this podcast is for entertainment purposes and should not be taken as medical fact or in lieu of professional advice. Enjoy the show.
Hello, my name is Emma.
And I'm Danny.
And welcome to our podcast, What's Not Wrong With Us?
Where we will share our interest in the human experience, from toxic overthinking to the art of complaining and everything in between, and most of all, what's not wrong with us.
Are there times when you feel out on your own, afraid that you're the only one? Something strange, something unique. Is it you?
Is it me?
Well, we're here to tell you what's not wrong with you. What's not wrong with us?
Oh, Jesus, I have no idea what we're doing.
Oh, is it your turn or my turn?
Well, so Right, so we're just going to come clean, okay, about what happened.
Are we coming clean?
So basically, Marty, my husband, very good sound engineer.
He is the third member of this trio, I think, yeah, it's fair to say.
I am a big fan of his. Despite having recorded a number of podcasts now at this stage of my life, I have only grasped the bare minimum of skills on the recording side. And so he kind of let me set up some of it a few episodes ago, and I basically didn't turn my own microphone on. So we recorded half the episode with me just being picked up in the distance on Danny's mic.
Yeah.
We tried to fix it. It was unfixable. And so we're having to do a bit of a re-record now. So the episode...
Wait, is this a re-record we're doing now?
Well, no. I mean, we're doing a new episode, but it's to replace
listeners,
it.
We do talk to each other outside of these things. It's just... So to give you a bit of insight to what's happening here, previous to this, we had a conversation in the house about how we were going to record two new episodes. So now are we recording... Are we re-recording an episode?
No, so we're just recording an episode, okay, but it's to replace an episode that we completely destroyed by my silliness.
Also... I'll take a picture for Instagram later to show how involved this is, but I am hand-holding the mic for the first time ever because just the way I'm sitting, I'm kind of in a slouch situation. I don't really want the mic stand to be too close to me, so I'm going to hold it and just live out my, you know, correspondent at 10 p.m. fantasy for the BBC News. and yeah, see how we go. Sound could be terrible. Marty could be cursing me in a week's time whenever you're trying to edit this. So,
well, it sounds pretty good at the minute. So it was a bit loud at the start, but it's okay now.
I just have a really projecting voice. Can't contain it.
Okay, so I am going to bring our main topic of the day.
I'm ready.
Okay. And I am going to talk about something that I mentioned that I was going to talk about on a previous episode. And it's Dr. Google.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Big fan. Me and Dr. Google go way back. And I think a lot of people have a very strong relationship with Dr. Google.
Oh, I mean, I think we've all been to, you know, a few wee appointments with Dr. Google.
Yeah, oh, definitely. And I mean, I have a regular standing appointment.
A harbinger of bad news.
Yeah, so I'll tell you a story, right? So, when Charlie was younger...
Are we going to share medical things? Great, I'm so ready. Go.
Charlie was younger, we were living in a different house and we had a mouse problem.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we had two mice and we... One weekend we left, we put two traps down, we came back, the traps were filled and the mouse problem was finished for that time. And then we had mice again another time. And we also had a gerbil at the same time. Okay. No, a hamster. It was a hamster, sorry. Right, so Charlie got sick, and so the kids have like asthma and different things like that, which means, and allergies, which means that they get things in their chest, and you know, sometimes it is medical emergency, like if they have had to go urgently to hospital when their oxygen saturation is just low. I tend to think of myself, because I worked for 10 years in the trust, and really enjoy medical dramas on television.
Okay.
And all sorts of, you know, media in that kind of way. I like to think of myself as a bit knowledgeable, right? Okay.
I already love where this is going.
Well, exactly. All of the actual medics listening are going, oh my God, you fool. Right. So So I feel, no, I'm skipping ahead. Okay, so basically Charlie was sick. I took him to the out of hours doctors, and what I was worried about is that he had caught...
Are you going to say Wheels disease?
Well, maybe that might be the colloquial name for it, but it's called leptospirosis, I think.
The thing you get from like rodent pee and piss.
What's it called?
It's called Wheels. Well, I was told Wheels
that's
disease.
Colloquial.
Whenever, basically, you if you're down at like riverbanks and things, you're not allowed to touch the riverbank and then touch your mouth because rat pee and feces can give you this weird, it's like a body wasting disease.
Yeah, so I knew it by, obviously it's official
it's
term.
Official.
Leptospirosis.
Yes. Emma, of course, knows the Latin divination of this and not just whatever everyone else calls it.
Right, so I went to the doctor and I was like, he's really sick, I'm worried about him. Okay.
I had Wheels disease. Oh,
and
my God.
He was like, yeah, okay, did his observations and everything. And I said, at one point I said, look, this is going to sound silly, but I'm kind of a bit worried that he has leptospirosis. And he was like, what? Where has this come from? And he was quite a young guy, cool guy. Really, he was talking to me in a way that I liked. He was talking to me as an equal, just as a person, because they can be patronising doctors, can't they? But he was just talking to me like, you're clearly an intelligent woman.
Yes.
You know, you're looking after your child's health, but where have you got the idea that he has this from? And I said, well, we did have a mouse problem, and also we have a hamster. And he said, is the hamster a problem? And I was like, very funny. But so I was like, I'm just worried that he's come into contact with something and this is what this is. And he said, look, here's the thing. First of all, you have to stay off Dr. Google.
Yeah.
And I said, but I think I use Dr. Google in an informed way. And he said, I can tell you don't. Right? And then he said that whenever he was in medical school, he said basically whenever you're training to be a doctor, you're a trainee doctor, and there's this analogy that says if you hear hooves outside the window, you think it's a zebra, when, you know, it's usually going to be a horse. So it's just you think it's going to be this rare, crazy thing, when actually it's more likely to be the more common thing. So I left going, well, I'm glad the child doesn't have leptospirosis, but also...
A body-wasting disease, yes. Yeah. We're all very glad the child doesn't have a body-wasting disease.
But also, you know, I was like... you know, I'm not sure. I think I honestly still think that I use Dr. Google correctly, because, so the thing is that what I don't do, I do know some people who do this. So they think, okay, I have, you know, an ache here and a thing here, and they Google it and it comes up with a list of things that it could be, literally a wide range of conditions, which include cancer.
I mean, I was going to say cancer nearly always appears,
yes.
Because let's be honest, anything if your body is going wrong can somehow be traced back to cancer.
Yeah, well, cancer has a lot of symptoms, and some of them are mild, you know, and can mimic other things.
Yeah.
So, you know, cancer comes up on those lists. But I'm not the kind of person who automatically goes to, oh, that's what it must be.
Okay.
Right? So that's why I feel like, I was using it correctly, because I was thinking, well, it's probably not cancer. It's probably something else and whatever. But of course, I just don't have the knowledge to use it.
I don't know if it's even about knowledge. I think there's part of it that comes from like a nervousness, and just in general about like a health nervousness.
Oh God, 100%.
And
yeah,
I think
that's why it is.
And I mean, I am saying this in full knowledge that literally about 20 minutes before we started doing this, I was in the house, choked on my own spit, and then thought maybe the flap that stops liquid going into my lungs was malfunctioning. And then I was like, maybe you're fine and it's just a thing that happens in real life. So like, weird medical nervousness I think is very real. Like,
okay. Yes,
I had,
totally.
You were talking about patronising medical people. I'm sure I told you at the time I broke my ankle.
What? No.
Oh my goodness. I didn't
know you broke your ankle.
Very quickly. It was on a stag do many years ago. I was playing zorbing football, where the zorb thing is only to your waist. And Danny didn't know he had to hold the handles on the inside, so it was just being held in by friction, and slid out basically like a newborn lamb. And at one point got ricocheted off the walls of the cage thing that we were in playing this on, landed on my ankle, broke it in two places. and got home, walked on it for a week.
Oh.
My old work where I was in before had a set of stairs they had to go up. I climbed the stairs two at a time, slipped on the stairs, and my ankle crashed against the corner of the step, and I thought I was going to pass out from the pain. It was incredibly strong. So I, with a friend of mine, went to A&E, got checked out, had an x-ray done. Sure enough, I had broken my ankle. It wasn't like a break across the ankle. It was like down the side of the ankle. So it was like a piece of bone had like broken off from the main part of the bone, but on two places. So, of course, Danny Googles, like, what does this mean? Waiting for a nurse to come and talk to me.
Right.
And lo and behold, all this information starts floating through about how, you know, pieces of the body can float through and kind of get to your heart and, you know, kind of travel into your lungs. And I, these, it wasn't, I didn't just make these things up. I was reading this off a page by people who I thought were more learned than I was.
Yeah.
So I then, with my friend, I'm going in to get my, like, should be cast thing fitted, and very concernedly say to the nurse, is there a risk that the bone fragments will travel to my heart? And she looked me dead in the eye and said yes. I swear to God, said yes. And then there was a 3 or 4 second pause, and then she gave me a tap on the leg and says, oh, I'm only joking. And I swear to God, I was like, my brain could not process fast enough.
Yeah.
Her trying to bring humour into the moment. I thought I was literally going to be like fucking stabbed in the heart by a piece of my ankle bone.
Yeah. So she had misread
the
significance of that information.
And also because, you know, I was white with pain and felt ill. And don't get me wrong, I look back at it and I'd be like, Danny, you're a fucking Muppet. Like, you should have seen that coming. Mm. But at the time... And obviously, like, you know, bone can't just find a way into a bloodstream. Like, it was lodged in muscle and tendon and everything else. It was just more, she was like, yes.
Yeah.
And dramatic pause.
Well, I think that's so.
And I blame Dr. Bacolo for that.
Well, exactly. So the thing is that if you Google it, right, and the worst case scenario comes up first or top or, you know, by virtue of the algorithm or whatever, you know, so that's not a likely outcome, and neither is cancer in most cases.
Yeah.
And now I think they do, there's a lot of kind of caveats where it says things like, although most people with these symptoms do not have cancer,
yes,
you know, that kind of thing. But I think that's the problem. That's problem number one, is that it's going to show you the worst case scenario.
Mm-hmm.
And you had said that it's the worry, it's a medical worry.
Yeah.
Well, I know this isn't a psychology podcast and all that, but I mean, it's anxiety, and it's anxious people that do the Googling. And then I know some people who actually have, you know, hypochondria, health anxiety, and they are like, they could be obsessively on Google at times. But part of the reason why I know this, because I know a lot of people who do it. Most people I know have some level of anxiety. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that says about me.
It means you surround yourself with good people, I think.
But Marty would never do that.
True, true.
And he is one of the least anxious people I know. And
if only
very
you could
sensible.
Bottle that and give it to other people.
Oh my God. Like, maybe if we did like some sort of blood, you know, blood bond or something.
I mean, I was thinking more like a David Attenborough style study where we just observe him for a period of time, being like, when is he doing the witchcraft?
Mm.
When is he, I don't know, summoning whatever spirit that comes upon him that just takes his anxiety away? Because I don't know, I believe that everyone is anxious, and some people are just really good maskers. Some people just manage it really well. But then Marty doesn't even seem to mask. He just doesn't seem to be anxious.
I think mostly he doesn't worry about things. Yeah, I don't know how to explain it. He's an enigma.
It's so wonderful.
I know,
so
it
jealous.
Is good. So the other thing that made me want to talk about this is something that's I'm going to say, right, and it's going to be really difficult for it not to seem like a massive brag, okay?
I'm holding my laughter. Go ahead.
Okay. So basically, in my family, before I got my PhD, so I'm obviously my title
Emma,
is
do you have a PhD?
Doctor. So that's brag Emma. Number one. Braggadocious alert.
Emma, do you have a PhD? Have you ever mentioned that you have a PhD?
Oh, God. So another podcast I listen to with Tig Notaro and Cheryl Hines, anytime they mention that they met famous person, because they're both in the business, that they worked with a famous person or the famous person, their friend, or they were working on a film or a TV program, one of them shouts, braggadocious alert. So we'll have to just do that for me anytime I mention that I have a PhD.
Yes, I enjoy it. But go ahead, Dr. Loudon.
So yeah, so basically now my title is Dr. Loudon, right? But before that, they called me Dr. Loudon anyway. And that was because if they ever had anything wrong with them, they would phone me up to find out what I thought about it. And then there was this kind of, again, this kind of reputation of being like, well, I just phoned her and she went blah, 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 whatever. But the thing is that mostly what I told them to do was whether or not they should phone the doctor, right? So basically the conversation would go like, I woke up with the most horrific pain in my head. Like, I thought somebody had hit me with a mallet in the head. It woke me up, this excruciating pain in my head. I had anything like it, the worst pain you could ever imagine. What do you think that is, Emma?
For those at home who aren't seeing this, Emma is not telling this. She is acting this story. There is like a tone of voice change. There's facial expressions. There was hand gesture. It was a whole performance. It was wonderful. 10 out of 10. Sorry.
We will start adding video into this. But anyway. And so then what I say is, that doesn't sound normal to me. I think you should check with the doctor.
Yes.
That's generally what follows after they say that.
But that's a good line, though. It's a good, like, because I feel like unchecked, you would just have, you know, you'd never be out of A&E, you'd never be off. And let's all be honest, it's bloody hard enough to get a doctor as it is without adding to all of this. Dr. Google, not only does he prescribe, but he's also a font of knowledge when it comes to medication.
Ah, yeah.
And this was particularly difficult for me. Because for those who don't know, dear listener, I, for most of my life, have had psoriasis, and till about 10-ish years ago was on a whole rigmarole of medications. So very quickly, psoriasis treatment plans begins with light therapy, and then you start into creams, and then you start into steroid creams, and then you start into oral steroids, and then you start into what I'm on now, which is injection biologics, which is like a low dose chemotherapy. So I take a low dose chemotherapy injection every fortnight. But whenever, way back when, I was being told this is what I'm doing or this is what you're starting to get or whatever, of course you Google what these medications are. And I'm not a medical professional, I don't know what any of these things are, and it reads like full-blown chemotherapy, and I was like, am I going to lose my hair?
Yeah.
Google said yes. Am I going to become lethargic? Well, I mean, more than I am now. Google said yes. And then this list of things that was basically like, I mean, it was sort of like, do I just rather have the psoriasis? And I think the problem is that without the knowledge or the medical awareness to know the context of you having super low dose and it's mixed in with a whole pile of other things, and, you know, it's, these are all incredibly rare side effects that don't ever happen, et cetera, et cetera. You would just believe verbatim what the internet is saying, because it's written by people who, you again, have this like white coat mentality of, well, they must know better than I do.
Of course. And I think that's, first of all, that's, it applies not just to Dr. Google, it applies across the board, but just sticking with Dr. Google for a minute, it's that you get misinformation about medication, but there's also so much stuff which is kept off the internet. So for, if you've, anybody who's had a person or been through cancer treatment themselves, you know, the treatments that are curative have massive, massive side effects. So we know the ones that, you know, the ones that you can see, like, you know, weight loss, hair loss. Maybe some people know about the teeth, the tooth problems. So you lose your teeth. That, you know, it attacks healthy cells as well, and radiotherapy then has other side effects and stuff like that. And so even if it cures your cancer, sometimes you're left with a lot of things as a result of the treatment. And it's pretty hard to find that online. Like, it's not, I don't think it's just commonly put on there online. It's only when you've got somebody who's gone through it, I think, that you get some of that information. And that's probably deliberate as much as it is anything, you know. But it does happen with lots of other things. So even though I was skeptical about that doctor telling me that I wasn't using it in an informed way, that's just because I'm arrogant and I think that I know better than
Dr. Lloyd has entered the chat.
But if I had have spent a couple of minutes just thinking about it, I criticise people who think that they know about research and science that I'm involved in, because you cannot actually find that information by just going online. Like, the people who are trained in particular fields are learning stuff that you don't have access to online, and they learn it in a particular way that builds up their knowledge and builds up their critical thinking, so that they can evaluate some of the stuff that you have access to, but you actually don't have access to the stuff that the qualified people do have access to, because we have special access.
Yeah.
So I would criticise people who are doing that when it doesn't come to medical stuff.
Yeah.
And it's more in my field or whatever, you know what I mean? So yeah. Why did I not just go, yeah, fair enough, actually, I should stay off the medical?
Because I think what we're touching on now is the kind of the root cause of all of this, which is the need for reassurance. And, you know, medical issues, because it does not, it's not a knowledge base that, unless you are a medical professional, that you have, it's bloody terrifying and scary, because you're putting a lot of onus and a lot of hopefulness in probably someone you don't know or stranger. And if you do know them, then something that you don't know an awful lot about. And for most adults, that's not something that comes very naturally to us, or something you would actively choose to do, which is why we have this implicit trust in the medical field. And to be fair, rightly so, because God knows neither of us know what we're doing when it comes to medicine. I think the difficulty comes from that place of not getting the answers what we feel to be fast enough, not getting the answers in a way that we feel to be relevant enough. Everybody knows at least one or two stories of someone who got told something by a medical professional, and then they went and did their own research, they found out something else, and then woe betide, they find a cure, or they find a whatever, or, you know, the fantastical stories of people who find ways of treating illnesses more holistically or whatever. And that all comes from that same kind of root engine of, I'm going to go hooking and poking online somewhere for information and find a way to find it.
I think the thing is that probably for every one story of somebody actually thinking, seeking out information and going, actually, I think my child has a cow milk protein allergy, and being correct in that, there's probably 10 stories of people who are trying to cure their mother's cancer by feeding her green juice. And this is why the doctors need us to calm it down, dial it back. Mm-hmm. Look, if you want to, if you want to try and manage your own anxiety or make your anxiety worse, look away. But don't make your medical decisions based on that. Make it based on, you know, what qualified people are telling you. So, no, don't phone your daughter and say, you know, my leg's hanging off, what do you think I should do?
I think, so there's a couple of things I was going to say there. Number one, and the same, another anecdote around Dr. Google. A number of years ago, I worked for a dementia charity, and we had to have a, like, you know, staff-wide meeting, because at that time, Dr. Google, or one of the many other Dr. Googles that exist out there, was advising people to feed their loved ones who had dementia 2 tablespoons of coconut oil, raw coconut oil.
Right.
And swallow it, because apparently it either stopped the dementia or regressed the dementia.
Right.
Coconut oil is the consistency of like hard Vaseline.
Yeah.
Like, how people were swallowing that.
No, it's horrible. Also, it coats your throat, even, you know, horrific. Like the CBD, which is in coconut oil. It's a bit annoying, that, because then you've got oil in your throat and it's kind of cold. So I can't imagine eating 2 tablespoons.
And they were being forced. And we had to have a meeting about basically telling people not to do this, because people were making their loved ones sicker and making them more ill, and, you know, force feeding them against their will. It was horrendous. But I think, again, it comes back to the idea of the people kind of scrambling for an answer whenever they can't get an answer fast enough through the normal routes, through the normal channels of things.
Mm.
And I think particularly, I mean, we're talking about this in very kind of broad strokes here. Like, you know, Dr. Google is applied for, as you say, a random cut on my leg that is a wee bit hot, to real life-threatening, very, very serious. Because people, again, desperate for kind of answers, desperate for a bit of information, don't feel like they're getting at things fast enough, clear enough, true enough from the medical people in their lives.
I think the phenomenon is only getting worse because, well, you know, post-COVID and the health services in a total state. I mean, COVID, there was a lot of that going on for sure. And then, you know, actually the powers that be of the internet, whoever they are, had to kind of crack down on the misinformation because it was going to end up killing people. But in fact, it did kill people. But I think just beyond that, you know, like my mum has always been reluctant to bother her doctor. But if people think that the doctors are busy, they're going to be less. They're going to be more reluctant to bother the doctors. And if you go to A&E and you have to wait 8 hours, you know, people don't want to take their sick relatives to sit in A&E and wait 8 hours. And sometimes they should be there, and sometimes some of those people shouldn't be there.
Yeah,
taking up the, you know, the waiting rooms and things. So,
So, yeah, I think going down the realm of what's not wrong with us, or the reason that using Dr. Google, this isn't, there's nothing wrong with you, I think, is because the reasons behind it are genuinely always from a place of a good heart. Like, you just want to either know what's wrong with you or know what's wrong with a loved one. And it comes from a place of concern and worry. And, you know, no one's going to try and, you know, find information on a loved one to use it for negative reasons. Like, that's not why people are doing it.
It's except if they have Munchausen's by proxy, but yeah.
This is not a psychological podcast. This is not a psychological podcast. Munchausen's by proxy. My God.
Well,
anyway,
no, you know, those very those rare people who would use any information for ill. But yes, most people are just doing it out of a place of concern and wanting to have an answer.
And just God, I mean, you just... medical issues are so terrifying and so scary, especially for people, as you say, if it's something that comes completely out of the blue, or, you know, like, so my brother-in-law, my God, my brother-in-law, newly as of weekend past.
The wedding has occurred. The wedding has occurred.
The wedding has occurred. It was fabulous. It was everything. You're gutted you're not there. yeah, so my brother-in-law, he turned 30 and had a stroke.
What?
Mm-hmm. Had a stroke.
Oh, you're kidding me. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
Had a stroke last year.
Right.
And just, I mean, horrendous.
Oh my God.
Horrendous.
So he's just on blood thinners now.
He's fine and like managing it and everything else. But young, healthy, you know, man who, and it was some, I mean, without getting into the medicine of this, some completely benign thing with his heart that everybody has, and just a weird sequence of events led to what was a stroke.
Lots of things can happen to anybody is the thing, you know. So,
but I think my point was saying that is that, you know, these things in life with medical stuff happen. Like, they are random, miscellaneous, like without any warning or anything else. So people look for somewhere for answers. They look for information, you know. And the thing is, my sister and brother-in-law were the same. They were going online, like looking up the medications that he was going on, looking up the treatments he was going on, trying to understand reasons for things.
Yeah.
Like, he had random symptoms where one of his eyes, the field of view that he had, shrunk away to nothing, where he said it felt like he was looking through a pinhole.
Oh,
and he couldn't work out why it wasn't happening, which doesn't seem like it has anything to do with your heart.
Yeah.
But it's because of how it all connects into each other and how it all relates. So you can imagine then how Dr. Google would play a role there in trying to give a bit of answers to things and try and give a bit of kind of clear context to what's going on to a 30-year-old man.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how anybody wouldn't go on Dr. Google if stuff like that was happening. I definitely would. I am not swearing off Dr. Google. I refuse.
Oh, no, I don't think you can.
No.
Dr. Google to us is what the encyclopedia of before was to others. Like, it's how you learn. I think the difficulty comes is when you try to apply Dr. Google in like a, you know, I'm going to ignore medical advice because of something I've read online.
That's it, exactly. So how I was applying it. So, for example, I had a boob thing. So I had a lump in my boob. And did think that I had breast cancer. But in looking at the thing repeatedly, looking at the information repeatedly for days and weeks before I went and got the mammogram, I thought, actually, it doesn't fit. So normally if you find a breast lump, there's lots of different ways it can, but the most common way is it's a hard lump.
Mm-hmm.
It's not movable. It doesn't change size or shape. And this was changing size and shape. And so it turned out to be a cyst. So when I was looking at Dr. Google, I was thinking, you know, this is actually probably okay. And so by the time I went to the appointment, I thought I know this is going to be nothing. So I do think it can be reassuring it just depends on your frame of mind, I think, whether you're already jumping to that worst case scenario, or whether you're kind of going, let's look at the information that it's given and seeing if we can. And sometimes it doesn't give enough information is the other thing.
But is that not kind of the whole sentiment behind all this, that information itself isn't the issue, it's what you do with that information once you have it?
Yeah.
And surely, I mean, my God, is that not a lesson for our whole lives?
Yeah.
Like, it isn't necessarily about what you actually have knowledge-wise, it's what you do with the knowledge that you have it.
Yes.
Are you using it to complement what you're being told by your doctor? Mm-hmm. Or are you using it to go against what your doctor's telling you?
Yeah. It just, that doctor would just basically have said, you're wrong on all counts, get off it. That's what he would have said. He's, no, you've got it wrong, get off Dr. Google. That's what he would have said.
So, to bring the surgery of Dr. Google to a close, what are we saying, Emma?
We're saying that, unfortunately, the surgery does not have capacity today. We have reached our safe capacity for the day. You can leave a message, which we won't listen to, or you can phone back later. And we will probably say the same thing again when you do. Thanks, but goodbye and sorry.
P.S. Press 2 to learn that nothing is wrong with you.
That's what our answering machine would say. Yeah, I'm happy with that. We're done, yeah?
Finished, done. Never speaking about it again. Over.
Can I take a quick pause just to see if Sam's okay? Welcome back from our...
And we're back in the room.
We were just watching some commercials there for bear-related products.
I hate you so much. Private jokes that will never see the light of day.
Yeah. So, you know, everybody's going to think that's about gay bears, you know?
Do you know that would be better? It'd be better than what it actually was. So let's just leave it at that.
Okay. So will we do normal on TikTok?
Let's do normal on TikTok.
Are you ready for this?
I am.
Okay.
So this normal on TikTok, I feel right. So the caveat of this is that I have done little to no exploration on this. I just took it completely at face value, what I saw, a brief scan of the comments. I've already shown this to Emma, but we're going to just talk about it very quickly here in terms of the TikTok itself. So
it is a bit of a mystery one, isn't it? Okay.
So the TikTok is, you're welcome to go watch it. It'll be in the link in bio.
Yes, we will eventually put in some of the links. We haven't been putting links in the thing.
Oh my God.
We say it every time, but we haven't put links in the thing.
We might try this time.
Okay. Do you know what would be better if we put the link in the Instagram post advertising the...
Okay. I'll try and remember.
Yeah. I don't know why it would be better, just because then I would not.
That was literally all. It was just like, passing the buck to Danny.
Yeah.
Anyway, so for those who are never going to go on the TikTok video to watch it, an oral description of what's happening. Basically, it is... inside some fabulous church, chapel, like a, somewhere.
Cathedral-y type place.
The TikTok opens with a man running up the aisle with a small child on his shoulders. We're to assume that this man knows who this child is because the child is on the man's shoulders.
Yeah, one would
He
think.
Runs up onto the altar. On the altar, there is this huge, huge, very ornate statue of what I think to be possibly the Virgin Mary. Possibly
usually,
Jesus.
I actually can't even remember from watching it, but it's one of those statues anyway.
Huge statue of someone anyway. I mean, when I say ornate, there was gold leaf everywhere. There was various like decorations on all sides. It was a big statue, and then there were these wooden slats that came out from it. Mm. It looks like you sometimes see them online. There are these big sort of ornate things that are carried by a group of men down through a procession.
It was
people.
A proper religious icon situation. Yeah.
And also massive. The thing was about six to seven feet tall.
Yeah.
Very wide. It would have taken multiple men to carry it. So this guy with the child on his shoulders runs up onto the altar, takes the child off his shoulders, throws the child up onto the altar. Then he himself gets up onto the altar. As this is happening, there is men in black suits trying to come over, pull him down, but then they don't really do much more than that.
No, they kind of look like, should we stop him?
Which I think speaks to the fact that the thing that this guy was getting up onto is clearly of deep religious significance and very important, and they don't want to mess around with it too much because, you know, God forbid something happens to the thing. Going back to the guy who threw the child onto the altar, it's trying to tell where we don't know these people's names. It's just like the person with the thing and then who the what. So he takes the child, puts him onto this sort of like cordoned off, like almost like a seat or a stand or a little enclave within the ornate thing that the icon is on. And then the man turns around and gets off the altar and walks away.
Yeah.
And leaves the child on there.
Quite far away, like as if he's leaving.
Like out of frame and away off. So the reason I ring this onto Normal on TikTok is a couple of things. One, the comment, the bio for the video itself, and then all of the comments that I read initially, any of the English speakers hadn't got a clue what was going on.
Yeah.
And you scroll down and it's just various English speakers being like, what's happening? What's going on? Yeah. What's happening? What's going on? And then there is another language that could be Spanish, could be Italian.
It looks
Spanish.
Yeah.
We're explaining it. And I thought it was funny, just the English speakers being like, someone tell me in English what's happening.
Then like explain. A paragraph in Spanish.
Yeah, then just a paragraph in Spanish. And then there's more English. Like, I don't understand. It's too hard for me to work it out. The second thing is, right, from a purely not looking for context and just watching the video as it unfolds, what on earth could be happening?
Yeah, so my first thought is, right, so the religious icons usually have some sort of there's a feeling that they can do things like cure things, help people, whatever. And so my first thought was that this man was trying to cure this child of something and that he had maybe asked, could the child touch the icon? And then said, absolutely not. The icon is too precious. But then there wasn't really much of an attempt to stop the guy. He literally, like, I mean, he could have come up with a big sledgehammer and wrecked the thing in the same space of time. But maybe because it was a small child that he was wielding rather than a sledgehammer, people made much less effort to stop him.
I mean, some would argue that a small child is as destructive as a sledgehammer, depending on the right circumstances.
Yeah.
It did. I do take on your note, though, that it didn't really feel like people made a lot of effort to stop the man.
No.
There was kind of a sense, I think there was definitely that sense of, oh God, what's he doing? What's happening? Where this is a lot. It's a lot of happening all at once. But it was more just the kind of what do we do now-ness of the situation. And then obviously TikTok being TikTok, you only see a very small snippet of the scenario and then you don't see anything else.
I mean, he moved very fast. So it could very be that fast. People were just taken totally unawares.
Yeah.
And by the time he was throwing the child up on the thing, they were going to start trying to get... I mean, they weren't that far away from him.
No, they were not.
They could have moved faster.
A man did grab him as he was like halfway up onto it, but then he sort of shirked him off and then just continued on his path, and there wasn't really much else happened after that. I think the other part that I enjoyed about the Normal on TikTok was just the amount of English speakers who were just like, what's going on? There's no information.
Yeah.
Actually, while we're here, I'm going to look it up now and see a live update to see if there's any more info. Oh God, so loud. So loud.
Yeah, see if somebody's translated.
Sorry, let me... Apologies, everyone. I hope that doesn't spike the noise. Right, I'm just going up to the top here. There's now 1,000 comments on this video. Oh, okay. An English speaker at the very top. Can someone explain, please? There's 10 replies.
Okay.
The first one is, a man runs a child into a church service and puts it on top of the table altar religious thingy. Hope that clears it up.
No, that's just a description of what happens in the video. We've already done that on our podcast.
The next
today.
One says, man just wants rid of his kid. Hopes Jesus will take him. Number three says, human sacrifice. There is a one here that aligns with what you were saying. The child is sick and his father was wanting a miracle.
Mm.
So, you know, some sort of like religion, proving miracle, etc. The child is sick and the father wanted him to get better. I think it's maybe just the why they're running. Oh, wait, okay. So it's the same commenter and... It seems like this commenter is trying to provide light on this. It appears that the child has illness and they're trying to, you know, this religious iconography is going to hopefully, you know, heal the child. I think it's just the sense that the man runs the child up onto the stage. Like, it's a very kind of aggressive sort of like, I need to do something about this sort of thing. And then the man in the black suit, he sort of looks at the priest and shrugs.
Oh, yeah.
And then he's like, what are you going to do about this
now? They're kind of like, oh, well, what can we do now? Well,
I mean,
he moves so fast.
He
sprints. I don't think he has any shoes on. He sprinted into the church.
Look, he just shrugs off the man. He's unaffected. And then up onto the altar, the child goes. And then he turns around and he's like, We're done here.
Yep, I'm away. Maybe he thinks he would be arrested or the child would be taken down if he stays. And then they are kind of like, should we get up and get the child then?
Oh my goodness. Incredible.
It would be nice to see the follow-up of what happens, but it's so this is a kind of a different kind of category of TikTok where it's captured an unusual thing happening in real life rather than somebody doing something performative.
Sorry, happened. I keep laughing because I'm scrolling through the comments and sometimes people are just really funny. So there is about five times now where I've read where someone will say something along the lines, what's going on here? And then another person will be like, a man runs into a church with a child and puts him on a table, ultra religious thingy, hope that clears it up. And then just does the same thing over and over and over again.
That's annoying.
I know, but it's really funny that people are just like, what's going on here? A man goes into a church with a child and puts him on a religious altar thingy. A man goes into a church with a
That's cheap. That's the type of thing winds me up and you
love that. I know I shouldn't, but I do. Yeah. So, yes. So, that was my normal TikTok of the week. You're all welcome.
And we're done again.
Because we're wrapping it up. I can't stop singing this week. I don't know what's going on with me.
You're in good form. Where's
Emma's
my phone
like, mix a change.
Okay. So, is that cat okay? News.
Is that cat okay?
Okay, well, this is dramatic, okay?
There may be a voice attached to this.
Breaking news. Is that cat okay? This week, it's dogs that are not okay. Potentially. Let's find out. Hi, it's Emma Loudon here with the next door news. Sorry, I'm kicking that out of D4.
Why did your already high voice get higher? I don't understand.
I don't know. So, I have a couple of things which I could share, both about dogs. Mm-hmm. Just to say that after the last time that I was explaining that people were really getting sick of all these complaining posts and blah, 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 that vibe went on for a while.
Yes.
So there was a lot more of that going on with people being like, oh, this app used to be great, but now it's not great.
Mm-hmm.
And you be careful, you'd be getting cancelled if you say the wrong thing on here and that kind of thing. So that went on for a while. But then something weird happened.
A mystery.
Yeah. So I was like on Nextdoor, just doing my normal business, trying to find Is That Cat Okay for my podcast.
Maybe making a recommendation about a plumber.
Yeah. And then I, oh God, I've just realised another braggadocious thing that's to do with Nextdoor that I'm going to do later. God, so annoying. I don't know how
she's
people stand
so
me.
She's just so braggy. Like, just the weight of her ego, it crushes my breath.
So the weird thing that I noticed happening was people were just posting pictures of their dogs. Mm-hmm. Little Yorkshire Terrier with a bandana on, a schnauzer, a lovely lab, just endless pictures of their dogs. But the pictures were really good quality and I was like, what is going on? What is this about, right? Mm-hmm. And they were all tagged # picture pawfect. Okay. So I don't know if this is a filter for dogs.
So to be clear, that wasn't just an inflection in her voice. That was paw as in P-A-W effect.
So it's maybe like a filter for dogs to make the dogs look prettier.
Yes.
Which I just think is humans going too far. Dogs are great. Leave them alone, right?
Okay.
Deal with your body dysmorphia in your own time and leave dogs out of it. So there was all these pictures of dogs. And then I stumbled across this post, which says, I'll probably get torn to shreds for saying this, but I wanted people to be mindful before they post their picture pawfect picture. You have no idea who's going to see these pictures. If you have a sought after breed, you're telling people your name, pet's name and breed and area that you live. Let's say, for example, you have a breed that's valuable or popular. There are all sorts of evil people who could find out where you live and try and steal your pet. You might think I'm overreacting, but there have been many posts recently about burglaries and report only this week about a puppy breeder being caught at the port. I'm sure it's not Nextdoor's intention and instead it's nice marketing competition. It's a nice marketing competition. My intention is to highlight my concern and to keep everyone's beautiful pets safe. If you don't agree, then scroll on. So that's one of our warners. has come out of the shadows.
Very concerned, Warner. Very concerned.
Very
dog
concerned
safety.
About
also,
dog safety.
Also, very concerned about the detectiving skills of these dog smugglers who are going to see from, you know, an ambient kind of area where you're from.
Yeah. So,
and dog stealing is real. Dog stealing is very real. Very scary.
Dog stealing is real, but I don't know how, like, prevalent it is. How common
Can I tell
is.
You a story?
Oh my God. I don't know. Will I be able to sleep at night?
Well, no, because it's not near here. It's further away. So, many years ago, I lived with a friend called Jessica. And she had a small, fluffy dog whose name has completely escaped me. But that, you know, one of the dogs that's just...
Lhasa Apso.
Something in that kind of area. Yeah. Fluffy, small. Can't remember what it was called.
Do
anyway.
It have teeth like that? It's Lhasa Apso.
I don't know about that teeth like that. But it was just a small fluffy dog. Anyway, yeah. The point I say this is...
Bichon Frise? Could, what colour was it?
This is where Emma's just going to give me all of the Latin names for all these various dogs because she knows them all. I don't know.
I'm obsessed with dogs.
Anyway, we digress. The point is... she came home one day and outside of her house there was a white X and chalk on the ground and she shit her knickers because like that's, you know, it's there's a, I don't know if it's an urban legend or if it's real or whatever else, but there's this belief that dog smugglers, there's a scout that'll go around, have a look, see if there's dogs, see if there could be dogs.
Yeah.
Particularly as that woman was saying, you know, specialist dogs because they get them for dog baiting, for fighting, and then these like tender little dogs will become basically fodder for these much more ferocious animals to kind of get bloodlust.
Yeah.
And they go around and they make a white X and then later on people come back and
I think
them.
It's mostly an urban legend, to be honest. Did her dog be stolen?
Her dog did not be stolen.
Did they do some gas works on the outside her front after that?
I don't know.
We talked about this before? Because that is one of the things that's come up on Next Door. Like, does anybody know what these markings mean outside my door? And they're like, people, there's going to be roadworks or something.
Oh yeah, it's the DOE going along being like, I'm laying a new fucking broadband pipe.
Yeah, something like that.
And they're like,
so the thing is that I understand that like dog fighting and stuff like that does happen. I do understand. I don't want to think about it. But I do understand that it does happen. But I just don't think that dog stealing is as common as we think it is. I think it's a bit like, yes, obviously people break into your house.
Yes.
But the fear of crime is worse than, is less common than crime. And I think the dog stealing is even less common than that again.
Should we Google it?
You can't. Yes, you Google it while I carry on.
Okay,
right?
Sorry. Okay. Yes.
So anyway, this is one of our warners has come out and the various comments go on. So some people like to... you know, have the name of the street that they're on makes the thief's job even easier. Oh my goodness, I didn't realise that. That's terrible. Everything I post now, I be careful about it. Oh, he's discovered some information.
So I typed in dog theft and the next thing that came up underneath that was dog theft markings. There's a key. Key guide.
Oh my God.
There's a key guide. So there's everything from alarmed, nervous, afraid, burgled before, an X means good target. Something that looks like an open book means vulnerable female.
Danny, I think this could be total and utter bullshit. I really think this could be completely made up.
There's
by somebody.
One that looks like, I don't know, like the outsides of petals of a flower that means wealthy.
My cynical brain is saying this is... not true. This is a paranoid person has compiled several chalk drawings and made up explanations for what they might mean.
Sorry, I'm now in a deep well of hobo hieroglyphics. And sorry, I digress. I got sucked in there, sucked in by the mythos of it all. I'm going back to see if I can find rates. I have looked up...
Dog theft.
And once I find my way out of hobo hieroglyphics and back into the main thrust of what we were trying to find, there is a newsletter article here from 30th of March this year that says, exclusive investigation, more than 100 dogs stolen in Northern Ireland in the past 2 years.
Right, okay.
It goes on to talk about the lack of prosecutions for that, but there's a stat around 100 dogs stolen in Northern Ireland in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
So 50 dogs a year, roughly.
Yeah. That's a lot.
It's a lot when you think about amount of dog owners, and then those are only the ones that have been reported, you know.
Yeah, I suppose spread out of the country it might not be, and maybe it's more common in, I don't know. Anyway, it just doesn't seem that common to me.
And then my other point was around the use of Nextdoor, is that I would challenge this idea about the use of the app in general, only because I at times will just dabble my way through Nextdoor, sometimes because I like the idea of just, you know, being like, Emma, I found this from another region here, take this, enjoy. But a lot of the time, I mean, there's a real kind of genuine love of people helping people in their community. And I think that's kind of, you know, in a really altruistic way, that's kind of what the main hopeful thrust of Nextdoor is this idea of like, I have a really good plumber. You have a really good plumber. Here's this really good plumber that we have. And the thing is, I'm part of this mechanism where I have a really good plumber, right?
Yeah.
His name's Craig John. He's fantastic. Mm-hmm. And in our little area, I make a special point. Anyone ever is like, anyone got a good plumber recommendation? It's like a race of about 20 people. Like, have you tried Craig John? And then everyone else goes, heart.
Yeah.
And he now has a circuit of business that he can go around.
Yeah, that is great. But what I liked about it whenever I first got on it was there are sometimes things that happen like out in your street. Like, say there's smoke coming from somewhere.
Yes, yes.
Or not even your street, but in your area. There's smoke coming from somewhere. You hear a load of sirens going somewhere. Or the road is closed, or there's something, and you like Belfast Live is not covering it. Do you know what I mean? Like, so the news things, the instant news type circuits are not covering the stuff that's happening in your area. So it's that ability to reach out to people, because we don't really go and knock on each other's doors or stand, you know, close to each other anymore. So that sounds like COVID times, but you know what I mean? Like, we're not all hanging about together.
Yes.
So we go on this to kind of share that information, and that's what I liked about it. The recommendations thing is only boring to me because it doesn't work as a, is that cat okay section for the podcast. That's the only reason. But
sorry. I love that. It's just like, people can have the recommendations, but I need some scandal, otherwise I need content.
Yeah, I need some scandal. Basically, this post goes on a journey. So it goes from her posting that to then being like, you know, I'll probably be attacked for this, to people talking about the kind of bitchiness that's going on, to other people saying, oh, if you have a sign up saying that, if you haven't innocently have a sign up saying beware of the dog, you're advertising that you have a dog to steal. But, you know, like, I just think that that is, again, overestimating the risk of your dog being stolen.
It is.
Like,
it comes back to that fear thing we were talking about previously. And I think, I feel like there is this belief that people who are overly concerned and voicing this over concern are being met with this kind of like, you know, poo-pooing or whatever else, because people think that they're just trying to spoil people's joy.
Yeah.
They're trying to dampen joy. They're trying to dampen a good thing. And, you know, and you wonder sometimes, could people not just have just 2% of empathy to try and think, why is the person saying that?
Yeah.
You know, they're not saying it. No one, I don't think, in their natural life is going to be like, I'm going to just rain on their parade today because shits and giggles.
Yeah.
They're doing it because there's a genuine concern that they have. They're worried about whatever's going to happen. Is it your job to course correct them on that worry? Probably not.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Just, where's the empathy, Emma? You know?
I know. Well, I do. I want to have empathy for this concerned poster about the, but I also do think that people get overly worried about these kind of things.
They do.
They get overly worried about their dog being stolen. They get overly worried about being broken into. My mum does this thing where she takes her keys up the stairs with her, her car keys up the stairs with her when she goes to bed, right? And her friends do a different thing where they leave the keys right out for the people, which is exactly what I would do. Because what I don't understand is, why do you want the things? Take a fucking car. Leave me alone.
That's why we have car insurance.
Yeah.
Take the car.
And, you know, she has a disproportionate, I would say, amount of dreams about waking up with a man standing over her.
Oh, Emma,
you know, that's what her recurring nightmare is.
As actually, someone who lives on his own, it is a great fear of mine of being someone being in the house.
Yeah, I know.
Terrifying.
I know. Anyway, I mean, that's the thing, is that we're all scared of that. And it does happen. People do get broken into. a friend of mine was recently broken into, and it's not good, right? Mm-hmm. I am not in any way dismissing it. I just think it's what you're basically suggesting is that there's a criminal gang who are going to go on next door and look at all these pictures of pretty dogs and target people, go to the street, stake out the street, observe where it is that that attractive Yorkie lives, and then steal it from its front garden.
Yeah.
I just don't think those people have the time or business to do that. Do you know how they can make dogs? Dogs have sex with each other. Puppies come out of the dogs.
Dogs just make other dogs.
Dogs make other dogs.
What we then, so again, bringing it back to the internet and all of this, the difficulty we have is that there will be one shock horror story where some really convoluted path led to a tragedy that had happened in this vein or this area or whatever else.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, I better learn from their mistake. Mm-hmm. I won't be that 1%. I won't be that statistic. You just can't live your life that way, because if you did that, you would never do anything.
Yeah.
Like, and I know people who are like that. I know people who, because they have heard something has happened, something obscure, you know, whatever it may be, the risk aversion to all of these things, the level of constant concern that they live their lives under,
yeah,
it hinders them.
Yes, of course it does.
It hinders
them. And I suppose that's what I'm trying to, you know, because I am very familiar with that way of living and living in an anxious state and everything. And that's what I'm kind of trying to suggest should be questioned, or, you know, not encouraged.
Gently challenged.
Sorry, gently challenged is the exact right term. Yes.
I'm very intelligent. Thank you.
Gently challenged, just because it comes from a place of fear. Mm. It comes from a place of concern and worry and wanting to remain safe. But it's not using like critical thinking skills to see, is this likely? Is it going to happen? It's not likely. But that's the thing about anxiety, is you overestimate the possibility of the catastrophic happening. That's the whole point. That's what you do in anxiety. But this is not a psychology podcast. I've just remembered.
Very quickly before we finish, just an anecdote, because I feel like that's all I have this evening to offer. Talking about men standing over you.
Mm. It's going to be a good one, ladies
really
and
not,
gentlemen.
It's really not. So I'm going to say her name because I know she listens to this, my friend Alice.
Uh-huh.
We were traveling in Marrakesh. I think I may have told you the story already. I can't remember. Anyway, traveling in Marrakesh. The hostel we were staying in was light on the security front. Mm. We had already had quite a heavy culture shock in terms of Marrakesh and life there, and being two very white people, Alice with very blonde hair, and just being like, don't want to offend anybody, don't want to piss anybody off, very, very consciously aware. In our hostel, it was a 6-bed, 3-bunk bed room. Mm. So Alice and I slept sort of head to head on 2 bunk beds that sort of met in the corner. So our 2 heads in the corner, legs and bodies going outwards, and then the middle of the floor in between all. And I am a very deep sleeper. Like, I am out, and then would take the ending of the earth to wake me.
Okay.
Whereas Alice is nearly always awake and just closes her eyes and breathes slightly deeper and then is immediately awake again. So we go to sleep, and Alice wakes up in the middle of the night to a man standing in our room over our beds, we don't know anything about. We think he worked in the hostel, but we're not sure. Alice, God bless her, tried to wake me up and I just slept through and just like lay in asleep, unaware that this man was in the bed. And I think Alice, by trying to wake me, and I mean, maybe he sensed that there was a man in the room as well, and I don't know, he couldn't do, I don't know. I don't want to think about it too much because it scares me. But just the idea, like, she was there and she tried to wake me, and then he left, and then we never saw him again.
Mm-hmm.
And Alice the next day was like, and you didn't fucking wake up, and I was so scared, and there was a man in the room, and I didn't know what to do. But so I say this to say that, you know, sometimes these things do happen, but 100 times out of 10, they also don't happen,
yes,
you know, and the fear of it happening
is
sometimes actually worse than, you know, God forbid it actually did happen to us and then nothing happened.
I know. And I sort of feel like we haven't cleared anything up for people.
But is that not the point of what's not wrong with us? Because
that
sometimes living in the definitive when it's unfounded is what causes the insecurity. God, that was incredibly profound of me.
It was very profound. But, and I think that is, it's all or nothing thinking. It's totally black and white thinking, where, you know, definitely your dog will be stolen if people know where it is.
Definitely, and there's going to be men standing over you as you sleep.
Yeah. I mean, just leave the keys at the fucking front door. Let them have the car.
I also think there's this
car.
I also think there's this idea, though, of people not wanting to allow any eventuality where they have let things happen to them that they could have prevented, you know? It's this really deep... And the thing is, I have this. Like, I do things in my life that are risk-averse because of this ambiguous fear of X, Y, or Z happening.
Yeah.
I don't think it's right, but I do it anyway because I could not live if for not doing it. I would struggle with that. But I do challenge it, though. I do challenge it by sort of being like... Things like, for example, I have this weird fear about sleeping in a bedroom with the door open. I don't like it. I like the door to be closed.
Yeah.
But every so often, I'll just have this... Do you like the door being closed or do you need the door to be closed?
Yeah.
And if it feels like I need the door to be closed for just no other reason than I need it to, then I push myself to sleep with the door open because I don't like being ruled by it. I don't like something outside of logical reasoning having control over me in a way that makes no ambiguity, because I think it opens the door to more of that. It opens the door to, well, you have to have this and you have to have this and you have to have this.
I think that's a really good habit to challenge yourself in that way. Right. See, just to finish the next door thing, right, I'm going to tell you something. The last episode that we released, right?
Yes.
Well, it might have been the last episode. I can't remember. But basically, we're talking about the weather as we do often at the start.
Yes.
Right. And you said it's to be bad weather tomorrow, and I said it better not be bad weather tomorrow because it's my mother-in-law's birthday and we're having it outside.
Yes.
And we're playing outside and everything. It's, well, it was really good weather.
Thanks to God.
Really good weather. It was a bit windy, but it wasn't. The marquees were safe. Everybody was fine.
Did Sister of Michael or whoever it was that was left outside do
Child of Prague, yes. Child of Prague worked its magic again, once again.
I honestly, you said about algorithm earlier, I googled the Child of Prague and honestly the amount of things of this.
Well, that's why you got that TikTok with the religious icon.
I think so.
Yeah, you've been googling religious icons again.
Again, I know, my great habit.
So anyway, so we were playing outside, that was fine. And later on that day, I was on Nextdoor, as is my wont. And I saw a post saying, does anybody know where the really nice music was coming from? Around Kinkora Avenue.
That's beautiful.
We live in Kinkora Avenue and we heard this music and blah, 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 blah. And first of all, one person posted, oh, there's a DJ on in C.S. Lewis Square and lovely Laura, the saxophone player, was on there. It was brilliant. That was later on
and also
at night.
Much further away.
Yeah, and it was much further away. And the girl went, all right, okay, thanks. And I thought, I can't leave this.
Do it.
I can't
leave it.
I'm not having lovely Laura the saxophone player take credit for my work.
She cannot take your thunder.
Right.
Do it. Please tell me you claimed your space.
So I posted saying, well, we were playing at a garden party between, I think it was 2:30 and 4:30 or 5:00 or something that we played. Between 2:30 and 4:00 and it was just off Kinkora, just in whatever street. I can't even remember the name of the street. I won't say it here. And they said, oh, it must have been you then. It sounded really great. Really liked it. And then that person followed us. And I posted a video, right? So I shared a video
link
to say, oh, this might have been what you heard. Maybe that was this, right?
I love how she's been. It might have been this. I don't know. Here's my prepared video.
Well, because somebody had already weighed in and said it was the people in C.S. Lewis Square.
Them,
so, and
lovely
I knew
Laura.
It wasn't because, the streets are just beside each other. And you would have been
able to hear that. Is C.S. Lewis not miles away?
Very far away from that street, yeah.
Yeah.
You would have just heard, ooch, 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 ooch,
only
in the background.
Just, yeah.
So I had posted the links. She looked it up and was like, yes, that sounds like it was you.
Aww.
You're great. And then so she followed us on Instagram or whatever. And then a few other people followed us after that.
Get away.
And that was before we had started all our big promo, so I felt like it was...
Emma, would you care to do some promotional?
Yeah, all right, okay. Right, I will.
Let me really twist your arm here.
Yeah, no, so my band Review, you can find us on all of the things at We Are Review.
Danny, make a mental note to do links to all of these things, so because otherwise I'll forget.
You can find us on Instagram and all those things. And we just released a new single called Love's Executioner. And you can get it on all the streaming sites, Spotify, Apple Music, all that. Or you can find it on our Bandcamp. So you just search Bandcamp Review, REVUE, and we come up there. But stream us on Spotify, please, because it really does actually help us. Even
it's beautiful.
Though people hate the streaming because you don't get paid for it, but actually it does help you. It mm-hmm. moves you up the algorithm. So
beautiful.
That's my beautiful. Plug over with.
Okay, let us surmise.
Yay!
What did we talk about today? We began our discussion with Dr. Google and the various ways in which people use it to salve an anxious heart, an anxious mind, to use Dr. Google for what it is, i.e. knowledge, but then to use that knowledge wisely and to not allow it to rule your life and always, always, always listen to medical advice.
Mm-hmm.
As the disclaimer will suggest.
But also trust yourself, because sometimes yes. doctors try and fall off.
And then in some other cases, have an Emma that will tell you whether or not to go to the doctor.
Yeah, that's literally all I ever did was say, you should maybe go to the doctor or you'll probably be fine.
Normal on TikTok saw us investigating the use of religious symbolism and trying to decipher why things were happening in the way that they were happening, but also just why is this man not running for the Olympic squad in sprinting for his country?
Yeah,
my God,
while carrying a child.
He is so fast.
Yeah,
so fast. And number three was again reflecting on people just really trying to poo-poo on people's parades with regards to next door. Us trying to be gently minded with regards to people's concern for people's doggy welfare, but also just, you know, there's not as much risk happening in the world around you at all times as you maybe think there is.
Yes.
And just a wee bit of logical questioning at all times.
Mm-hmm.
So to finish off, Emma, as always, there is nothing, and I mean nothing, as hard as you may think there is, wrong with you.
Thank you very much. And I would also like to offer to you that there is absolutely zero, zilch, nothing wrong with you, Danny.
Oh, Emma, that was very nice and unprovoked of you. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye-bye.